Blog Talk Radio.
All right, God bless you guys. I'm Apostle Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios here in the city of Dallas. I know we made the actual promises as we actually came into the first part of this particular teaching on this morning, but we got tied in with some other shows. I'm not really a person to really make excuses, but sometimes the Holy Spirit begins to move and it kind of carries over. If we want to give those acclimable enough time to be able to join in and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to them and get feedback. So that's what brings us to where we are right now, getting started here at 11 o'clock. And for those who actually want to call into the studio, you can do just that. That's going to be area code 516-387-1330. That'll get you into the studio here at Harvest Lord Church. In Harvest Lord Studios on the day, we're going to be dealing with the process of pleasing God rather than pleasing man. You know, we talk about that scripture at the point of the book of John chapter 12, and he said that that the blinded eyes were hidden from the things of the heart. He talks about how that when God brings us things that have come to our heart, there are things of the world that we see more pleasing than what God has in store for us. So we're going to actually just get ourselves moving here, and we're going to get into this particular area over in the book of John chapter 12. And we're going to hear what the word of God has to say. That's always coming from the kingdom of God here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios. For those who actually join into this particular area of broadcast that I have, this is called my radio speaker, not my radio blog talk, BTR station. Of course, you know, there's other several other stations that we have. This is one that I usually stream over in different countries because the system seems to run a little bit better over in the foreign countries, better than it works here in the States. So every now and then, during the course of time, I get a chance to stream one of these shows, over here in the States. And I said before, for those who are calling in and want to be a part of the show, you can do that by calling 516-387-1330. That'll get you right into the show and get into the discussion this morning if you so fit to be a part of what's going on the show this morning. We're talking about the process of pleasing God rather than man. Now, we're not gonna even think about the process of denying or going against your leadership, but in the process of your leadership being put in place, you know, you want to look at the vision and authority God has given him, not to become to the point that he becomes a Lord over you, but to submission in such a way of kindness and obedience that you're willing and pleasing to help that what God has put his hands to move forth in the plan that he has for him. You always hear me talk about the power of the vision. You know, vision is something that's not done by one single man. It's a part of the fivefold. You know, everyone has a gift, comes in together, and to complete the vision that God has put in place. You know, as I heard the man of God out of Houston, Texas, my father in ministry, Apostle Oscar Walker, always tell me, you know, you can look at your hand and you can pretty much memorize the vision in terms of how God really wanted to be, how the church really runs on a fivefold process. And the hand is really one thing, but it got so many different members, not many as members as the body, but it's a hand that represents how the fivefold uniquely and designed and move that particular object, what we call the hand, to be able to grab, pick up, move, touch, even feed and do things that we needed to do with. Because we look at the thumb, we look at the apostle, we look at the pointer, we look at the prophet, and then we look at the evangelist, which I think is the most powerful position in the body of Christ in this day and time, the person who goes throughout all the world and proclaims the gospel. We look at the process of the pastor, and then we look at the teacher. You know, we got flock gatherers, as it says in 1 Peter 1:5. You know, also an elder, you know, as I come together as a report to know that we are to shepherd the flock of God, which is among us. And as we go into the house of God, we all want to be known how to be taught. You know, we want a good teacher, you know, teach us the word of God plainly for we can understand and realize that whatever the writing is that's on the wall, it's plain for us to be able to see what God has declared and called us to do in the season which we're in. So, Father God, we thank you. We bless you for this opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask you to look over the word as it goes forth this morning. Let it be a word that was solidified not to myself, but of the Spirit. That even as I begin to pray and declare the creed, Father God, you touch the minds and hearts of every individual as they come on and be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios this morning to help them move forward and they walk with Christ. As I said before, for those who are willing to call in and to be a part of the discussion this morning. We want to make sure we want to stay on this particular discussion, and we don't want to veer off for all those who are listening and want to get understanding about how it's not to be for you to actually disown the person who God has put in place, but he must show an example as being a leader. You know, the book of Titus talks about those who are desired to be bishops, leaders, whatever it may be. It really shows all the same in the process of how God really determines and calls it to be in that particular season that you're in. You know, whenever God puts a man in your place, he's going to actually show you and design and engineer you how this is supposed to be done according to his will, his purpose, and his power. You know, God says, I don't bring a word into the land. Excuse me. In Amos 3 and 7, let's reveal to the prophet. So God chooses his man in the land in which we're in to bring forth that, but to lead the flock. And as he leads the flock, he makes more disciples, and he sends those disciples out. And he impacts them with the word of power. And when he gets impacted with that word of power, they begin to deliver that word to other individuals. Come see, hear what the word of God has to say. I've been blessed, truly delivered from the very sins of what it was in my life. Not through this man of God, but not of this man of God. Remember, God said he works through him, and he's not the man you got to trust more than God. So, you know, he's got the ability to slip, just like you got the ability to slip. But we hope and pray that God will put good people around him in the process of having a fivefold to keep him corrected and guided in the way he should go. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, for this word that we're about to bring forth today. Lord, we ask it to be a word to solidify through the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father God, let it not be of me, but through the precious power of the Holy Spirit, but I may discern and understand even as I bring forth that which you have given me on today to bring to your people. Father God, I decree the word, I declare it, I speak it according to the Spirit. I believe that no weapon formed, created, designed, and engineered against this word that shall prosper. Once again, I want to thank you guys for joining me here on this particular morning. And also, I just want to let you know we do have shows. We actually have a 10 o'clock show. We want to try to be persistent in how we bring forth the word and the message. We put a word out there. I want to go and grab it and make sure I'm going to do it. But in this process, with some of the foreign ministries, the times are so flexible. But sometimes we miss the mark. But then not missing the mark, but we still come in. So we want you guys to still tune in. And it may be out to a point that you may see us coming in at that particular time. But try back between what that 30 minutes I said before, and you'll catch us somewhere in there. I try to pinpoint as be as accurate as I can during the course of time of doing these words to you, because I want you to really catch it from the beginning and not the end. But you do have the opportunity to go back through the archives and listen to the message all over again if you just so happen to come in between the messages. What I said before, those who are calling into the studio, you can call in area code 516-387-1338, and that'll get you into the studio. Let's go to the Word of God and see what's going on here in the Scriptures. We're going to work out a couple of different Bibles on this particular morning. Not going to be with you too long. Of course, we're going to work out of the King James Version. We're going to look at the Amplified Version. And we're going to look at what we call the Tree of Life Version. It gives a lot of really solid breakdown information that's coming from the Kingdom of God. Kind of brings the layman to you, you know what I mean? Not a whole bunch of so-called wannabe Greek words or these things that go over your head and you don't quite understand what's going on. These particular areas of Scriptures, these Bibles that we read, you know, I read all versions of different Bibles because I want to get a solid breakdown of what the Word of God is telling me when I'm actually bringing a word to you. This is one of the things I really desired to do as a young man, even when I was in high school. You know, just make it plain to me. Make it black and white. You know, you don't need to take me into astronomy. I'm a person that's really down to elder culture. If you bring it to me plain and let me understand what you're saying, whether to try to proceed to be something that you're not, you know, hey, look, that'd be better for me. Just talk plain to us. And let us know what's going on, Pastor Ellis. And I tell you what, this apostle bringing to you as smooth as he can, to the point of making as lame as he can. Okay, let's look at this word here in the book of Psalms chapter 12. Let's look at what it says here. Not Psalms chapter 12, John chapter 12. That's what the word of God has to say right here. They say, look at the 39th verse. Therefore, they could not believe because Esau said again, that he has blinded them. Notice what he says. They could not believe because Esau, now he said this again all through this particular chapter. And, you know, you read it from the beginning. It talks about the process of how men are stubborn, how they walk in the dark and not in light. Look at verse 36. What have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things speak Jesus as he departed and did hide himself from them. Now, this is a process we talk about over in verse 36, but let's go to verse 37. He said, but though they had done so many miracles before him, they yet believed not in him. Now, this is amazing when you think about that, how you have disbelievers that have been conditioned to what they feel a miracle and the power of God ought to be. The word of God makes it very plain to my ears and your ears that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of any man, the things that God has in store for them that love him. Every miracle we've seen in the Bible was done totally different. We look at the healing at the pool of Bethesda with the man of God. Jesus did a pool part healing, and he did it so plainly to the point that it really mesmerized the man of any physician. Back in those days, spittle was used for a lot of things of healing. Jesus spat in the ground, mingled it with mud, wiped it across his eyes, asked him, could he see? He said, no. You know, at the process, he going to Siloam, you know, in Washington, and then he see, I see. First time he saw man as trees, but now the second time, that twofold healing, he said, I see man as men. We look at the process of the Jesus' the first miracle, the filling of the barrels with wine during a wedding feast, something that's impossible that man can see. You don't look at a barrel of wine, all of a sudden, you know, barrel of water, it turns to wine. Just because you commanded and said, these are things that the Word of God talks about over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in that particular 8th to 9th verse, well, that 9th to 10th verse, that the eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard. The type of things, the kind of blessings that Christ does hadn't entered to the heart of any man, but we got to be careful that we don't condition ourselves to try to what we call tailgate or bring into what we call conform the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit moves in such ways that it's able to mesmerize men in any way. You know, it'll shock you, it'll discombobulate you, it'll bamboozle you and get you to believe and understand the power of God has no conform to what man says, but what through the power of his Father has sent him to do. Jesus makes a strong word. Give you the chance to get in your Bibles, you go to the book of, just, you know, not leaving off of John chapter 12, but you go over to the book of, John? You go to the book of John, you take your Bible, go to the book of John chapter 14, and you look at some of the amazing things Christ said to those who are in the disbelieving position. The things that Christ does, the mesmerization he did among people, leading them to believe that the work he done did not come from himself, but he did it through the one who sent him. And this is how we are as being men of God, women sent through the precious power of the Holy Spirit. We'll go back to the book of John, the book of Jeremiah 1 and 5. He talks about the creation and the design and the engineering of me and you, how we was created and designed and engineered to be prophets before the nation. You read Jeremiah 1 and 5, he said, before you was born, before you was created, before you was designed, before you was engineered, he said, I called you to be prophets before the nation. That means we've been given the ability, according to Romans 4 and 17, if we use our power properly, what's been given to us, with the dominion, the supremacy, and authority, according to Genesis 1 and 26, we got the ability to speak over our own lives and speak over the lives of others individuals and know that what God said is going to come to fruition. The Word of God tells us that his word won't go void, but it will accomplish and do all that therein. We see that in Isaiah 55. You know, the Word of God talks about even as the word go forth, that's not weapons. Isaiah 54 and 17, designed against his word, it should prosper. You go to the New Testament, you look at the Word of God over in Ephesians 1 and 21. I'm just not rambling here. I'm giving you information how the power of God moved in the area in which he designed and engineered you to be as a man or woman of God. He said, Ephesians 1 and 21, he said, far above every prince and power in dominion, not only named in this world, but everything which is to come. The power of Christ moved according to the believer and those who looked upon him and know that work didn't come from him, but it comes to the Father who sent him. That's why he goes to John 14, verse 10. He said, believe it not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak, notice what the words, he's speaking in words. Everything, the world was created on words. Jesus declared what he said, I exalt my word above my name. So when he speak a word, I don't care what condition you got in your body, am I with somebody, what's going on in your life, your finances, situation, circumstances, mortgage, whatever's going on. God said, if I can just believe, according to Mark 9:23, he said, all things are possible to the believer. He speaks again over here, as I said before, in the book of John chapter 14, in that 10th verse, he said, believer thou not. You know, he's giving you information, believer thou not, because they have seen things and the power of God has done. But the Pharisees disbelieved and discredited Christ in such a way. They wanted to see him fall because they had a way that they felt was right. They had what you call it, it's a way that seems right to them. But the end came their death. But Christ comes to say, I come to the one who sent me. I didn't come on my own reconnaissance. I come to the one who has power and authority over me. He called me to do the work. So he says in John 14, the 10th verse, believest thou not that I am in the Father? Notice what he's saying. And the Father is in me. You think about the model scripture that we use, greater than he, that he is in you, than he is in the world. The word of God declares that according to Jeremiah 1 and 5, that was already instilled in you before you were born. The power to subdue, to rule, to reign, to convict and arrest, to shut down everything in your life that's not like God, to call things in position. But we don't use our power in such a way that we walk as we have that ambassadorship in us. This is why a lot of us fall short in the things that we actually happening and dealing with in our life. He says once again, believe it not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He dwells in you also. He does the work. Everything that you do is due to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Three parts of the Trinity is already in you. Your flesh is something that houses a powerful mechanism. It's got the power to speak out of your mouth and call things in position that be not of their word. That's why the word of God says life and death. If I end up with somebody, it's in the power of the tongue. The Bible says over in John 14:11, believe me that I'm in the Father. You got to be in the Father. How do we be in the Father? The confession. Romans 10:8-9. What saith thou? The word. Word is in thy mouth. I can just believe that him that raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. I've already communed myself as being an heir of the kingdom of God. Am I talking with somebody? Romans tells us that we're not only heirs, but we're joint heirs. And he said, even in the midst of teaming up with Christ, there's some suffering that me and you all have to go through. But it says in Romans 8:18, don't worry about that because I'm rocking. He's using counting terms. Our rocking for the suffering at this present time is not compared to the weight of glory that will be revealed. God's got a plan for your life according to Jeremiah 29:11. He goes back once again. He looks at John chapter 14, looks at the 11th verse. He says, believe me that I'm in the Father. In the Father, look here, it's in me. That's in you also because you was created in the image of the Son. So the Father dwells in you also. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Notice what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, this is, it's a belief system. It's a Mark 9:23. Him that believeth, it's an ongoing, in the midst of your calamities, in the midst of your orange cones, in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of all the things that are going around you, what's trying to bombard you to make you feel other than what God declared you to be, you got to call on, you got to raise up your antennas, that's your hands, you got to beacon to God and let him know you surrender all. The only if he come in your life and help you out of the very situations you're in. The word of God said mercy and grace is available for you in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your situations. The word of God said he's a right now God. You look at Psalm 46. He said, I'm a very present help in a very present time. That means God will answer you speedily in the midst of your crisis. Just because you don't see it moving physically, it isn't already moving in the spirit, but it's all compared to your belief, how you believe. The Bible said, if I can believe. He put the IF in there because sometime in the midst of your struggles, you begin to get discombobulated, bombarded, bogged down, especially hanging around people who don't want to go where you're going. You really find yourself being transfused by things and people who are speaking to you and make you feel other than what God declares you to be. So-called wannabes. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get y'all to see. Always understand that the vision that God gave you is really more than what you can see. He goes on and says once again in 11th verse, he said, believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the work's sake. Notice what he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Here comes the Holy Spirit. And greater works that he shall do, because I now go to the Father. The Bible says in the process of verse 13, whatever you ask, whatever you speak out of your mouth, believe it, declare it, it's got to come to full fruition. Because he said his word won't go back void, but it will accomplish to do all that therein. Am I with anybody? The word of God says in Numbers 23:19-21, I am not a God that I should lie, am I the son of any piece of a flesh that I got to repent? The command has been given to bless. I will and cannot reverse my word. That every word he spoke out of his mouth, according to Isaiah 55:11, it's got to go forth. You got to have the belief and understand it's not man, but it's God who works through man, enable them to do things. When people come and disappoint you, bombard you, break you down, make you feel other than what God said, you got to lift up and kick up your heels and trust in God and lean not to your own, but acknowledge God in all his ways. The Bible says also, it's a way that seems right now. Remember that. The devil knows you. He knows the things you used to like, and he knows the place you used to be, and he knows what kind of tunes he wants you to listen to that make you feel other than what God commanded you to do. But God said, I came to give you a life. I came to give you a life, and I came to give it to you more abundantly. That means God's got a declared plan over your life, and it supersedes far beyond more than you and I can even think of or even imagine. Let's look back over here in this area of the book of John chapter 12. Let's get some understanding about the blinding of the vision of those who don't really understand the power mechanism, the power source that God has put in you, according to Jeremiah 1:5. He says on verse 37, but though I have done so many miracles, it goes back to John 14, but I have done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not in him. Notice what he said. All the things you do to try to please men is always going to come to naught, because they're going to always find some kind of way to ridicule you, bring you down, make you feel other, or they'll try to measure you. This is the biggest thing we got right now. Men trying to measure you with other men. Because of the size of buildings he has, because of the popularity name he has, because of the type of preaching, the type of scrolling, a chicken crowing he do, and just making you feel good in the flesh. But God wants you to be taught through the precious power of the Holy Spirit and discern and understand that the Holy Ghost comes through information, not through what you call dispensation, in terms of what you call this is clown shows. You know, these things that make you seem like you're a little bit more, screaming your brains out, about to have a heart attack up there. You know, God wants you to speak to the people. You've never seen Jesus do these things, you know. Matter of fact, in seminary school, they should tell us, put a little enthusiasm in it. They said, put a little enthusiasm in it. The Bible says some people think I speak with enthusiasm right now. But no, I'm speaking with a word that's plain for you to hear. And I may be a little quick on my tongue. But I'm telling you, man and woman of God, the things I speak to you is for any man can understand and realize what I'm saying to you is plain and simple. The word of God says, once again, we look over here in 37, but though I've had done so many miracles before them, who was them? The disbelievers. Sometimes you can do all the miracles in the world. Jesus makes a very strong statement about that particular area, about how a prophet is never honored in his own country nor his own town. The same thing that happened with Joseph. Look at my cheese. My shoes, your shoes, bow to my shoes. Man, you crazy, they told Joseph. You know, he said, now the sun and the moon bow to me. And his mother them said he's crazy. But now this man goes down to Egypt, get in prison, lied on by Potiphar's daughter, you know, really in prison to the point that now he comes out and gets right hand with the king and begins to tell him things that he needs to know, and he becomes second in charge of all of Egypt. I'm telling you, man, woman, God, when people look at you, if you ain't got what it take, you got to understand and realize the plan that God has for you is really more than what you can see. This is why I tell you all the signs. You got to understand and realize it ain't man, it's God. Who you please is the one that got the goods. God's got the goods. He's the one going to give you what you need according to his word. I'm not a God that I should lie. I'm not a son of any piece of a flesh that I got to repent. Come on, somebody. I've been given a command to bless. I can and will not reverse it. He goes on down here. He looks at the word of God. Over in Psalms, the Psalms really get me, I tell you. It's John 38. Then he says, Esau the prophet might be fulfilled, which is spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? Notice what he's saying. We see this in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And whom has the arms of the Lord been revealed? God will show you so much in your life, but you get to deal with a disbeliever. Somebody to see that God done a miracle in your life, all that, just that's just luck. Yeah, it was luck on your end, but I had somebody I believed in. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the power of God moving in a nano situation. All you got to do is go back to Psalms 46. That I'm a very present help in a very present time of need. I'm a right now God in a right now situation. Mark 9:23 guarantees that. You're going to have to believe it and know that God is really more than what you can see. He goes on down. He reveals a word. As we kind of come on down here in a particular verse, we look down here in the 39th verse. What did God say? Therefore, they could not believe because of Esau. Said again, He has blinded their eyes. The enemy will mess you up, especially people around you. That's why the Word of God tells us. I know I'm everywhere right now, because I'm here with the Word of God speaking to my spirit. It goes back to Psalms 1. Psalms 1 tells us, I knew it was in there somewhere. The Holy Spirit kept on pushing at me about this Psalms. Psalms 1 says it. In Psalms 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. Come on, somebody. But his law should be in the law of the Lord. And in his laws does he meditate day and night. Come on, somebody. You got to get stuck. I should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's the process of moving of the Holy Spirit. That every word to proceed out of the mouth of God has got to go forth. It will not come unto me void, but it will accomplish do all that therein. I know it's going to go forth, because I just got to believe it. Whatever I speak out of my mouth, whatever I line it up with, I got to believe according to the word of God in Psalms 46, that God said to me that I'm a right now God. I'm a very present help in a very present time of need. You got the Psalms over there, 89 and 34. He says it very close, 89 and 34. I will not alter the word to go off of my lips. I will not speak a word to you now. Psalms 84:11. No good thing will I hold from those. Matter of fact, I'm a son in the shield, and nothing will I hold from you that if you walk upright. That's Matthew 6:33. All you got to do is be able to seek God with all your heart and all your mind, and God will show you the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit that he can perform for you in your life. He goes on down here. He looks at this, and that 39th verse really is an eye-opener. Then, therefore, they could not believe, because of Esau said again. Look how Esau criticized them in the midst of seeing the miracles right before them. Go back to John 14. Remember John 14 said in that 10 through 11, you know, he said, believe it not that I'm in the Father. Jesus didn't come to do anything from himself. He come to do the work of one who sent him. This is why I'm talking about how you believe in God rather than man. God sent man to be in a position at the end to gather the flock. Man is not supposed to think of himself as being any more than what God declared him to be. And that's what to be under his command, to understand and realize that God called him to be a conduit in the season that he's in. You take the word of God, and I'm not rolling off this area in the book of John chapter 12, but I want you to realize and understand when you look at 1 Peter, you go to 1 Peter 5, you see the word in 1 Peter 5, what he's saying, he makes it very clear how now in these days, men has got entangled with click, club, titles, names, and position, in structures, and buildings. Oh, Jesus talks about the structures of the buildings, even in Mark 13. Did you hear Elder Kerry Williams, the man of God here at Harvest New Light Church Studio, talk about the other day, about the end times? What you going to believe in when the storms come? The old song used to say to the old saints, is saying, what you going to do when the world's on fire? What you going to do? You going to run? You can't run? What you going to do when the tree's on fire? You know, what are you going to do? You're going to have to trust in God and believe that he's going to save you, that he's got a better place for you during the course of time, that when this particular world here is over, that you're going to a paradise place that's more better than what we see here in the natural. No more crying, no more worrying that we do right now, bill paying, all these problems, all these circumstances. But God will sustain us while we're in this earth today, to be able to do what he called us to do. Look at what he said in 1 Peter 5 before we go back over to the book of John. He said, to the elders which are among you, I exhort you as elders, as in witness of the suffering of Christ, also partakers, look at, of the glory that shall be revealed. It's going to be revealed if you're partaker of the kingdom of God. Everything in your life has got something that's going to come out of it if you trust in God and lean not to your own, but acknowledge him in all your ways. The Bible says to the man in the leadership to feed the flock of God which is among you. Look here. You got to take the oversight thereof, not by constraint. You can't be bullying. I'm the pastor. I'm the bishop. I'm the pastor. You do what I say, do. No, 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 indeed. Your job is to get the instruction from the one that's above, that you may usher those, which is the flock, in the right direction to go out and gather the harvest, because they also got gifts in them that moves in power, if you're going to use power the way it should be used. Everything that you have in your facility, in your church, that you have around you, has got the power to go out and pour in what God needs in terms of bringing the very earth to the point that we may go out to all the world and proclaim the gospel. The Bible says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Look what he says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filth or lucre. It's not all about money and buildings, clicks, club, titles, and games and positions, but be ready-minded, neither being lords. You're not a lord. You're not a god over them because of the name. See, I heard the man of God tell me, Dr. J.C. Matthews, I remember he was saying about out of Dallas-Fort Worth area, he said to me, he said you not to think of yourself as being more high than you ought to be. In other words, God is commanding you to already be what you are, and the beacon system that comes out of you, it illuminates, it radiates to the people. They draw to you. The word of God says right here, but it's not about the filth, not about the lucre, but be ready-minded, nor to be lords over his, look, his heritage, but being examples to the flock. What was he telling me there? Pastor Ellis, whenever God begins to elevate you and bring you, watch yourself. Because the enemy is cunning. He's sneaky. He's trying to bring in things that you like and trying to make you feel that you're what you're supposed to do. But God got so much in store for you that you ain't even seen nothing yet. The stuff you know right now, you ain't even scratched the surface yet. But what the power of God can do for those who believe. The Bible said, not by filth, not by lucre, but ready-minded. Notice what he said in verse 3. Neither being lords over God's people, which is his inheritance, but being an example to the flock. In other words, I would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. That when the chief shepherd appear, you should receive a crown of glory that won't fade away. When God begins to touch you, you ain't got to worry about men trying to take it away from you. So many men in position, they've been in leadership, has failed to victims of certain situations, sexual scandals, this, that, and the other, divorces, yada, yada, whoop-de-doo, whatever you want to call it. And now the flock continues to stay there as if they're like dumb mules. Now, why is something wrong with this thing here? You know, I see this thing messing up like this. Why am I staying up in it? Why am I going to stay up in it until I die? Like the men of God over there in the king. They sat by that gate. They weren't able to stand inside of Samaria because of the leprosy they had. And that's the same thing with you. Sometimes the way the anointing is on your life, some people look at you that you got leprosy. But you designed and engineered, if they really got the mind of Christ, then you're the one is come to bring them out of whatever condition they're in. Those three men sat there at the gate of Samaria, and they said to themselves, one another, why are we going to sit here? Why are we sitting up here? What's our reason for being here? If we got a God on our side, why don't we just get up and go over into the enemy's camp? Yeah, if they kill us, they kill us. That's the kind of heart you got to have. The Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brother, that you become a living sacrifice for God. Whether you live or die, you got to believe and not compromise the word of God. So who are you going to believe? Man being God. They got laws and rules and regulations in place that said if you get hired at this particular place, do race, creed, or color, or religion, they cannot fire you. But they do. They do. Get something going to the point it ain't going to run in with them or have that little rainbow thing that they use in certain companies. It'll be some kind of one of these one-on-ones or two-on-two things, and it's not going like you speak out against that. Oh, that we're going to get rid of you. We want the devil in here. We want a God. We want a form of God that's in here. We want to have the power of God. We want people who can still do the things of the world but yet still come out their mouth and say, we love the Lord. No, you can't do that. It's going to be black and white. Either you're going to live for God or you're going to live for the devil. Ain't no in-between. This is why we look at the word of God, and he talks about how the mind of the people have been blinded through the realization of what God really commanded us to do. Too many times, as I say right now, we're going to compromise with the world rather than going with God because of what they might say. I need my job. Well, the pastor, you got to use wisdom. Yeah, you do got to use wisdom on a lot of things. But God said he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And if I really trust in God, he's going to protect me from every wile of the devil. The word of God goes says over here in the book of John, chapter 12, in the 40th verse, he said he has blinded their eyes, oh my God, and has hardened their hearts. They should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be, look here, and be converted. Look here, be converted. He said, heal them. They ain't even got the mind to be able to convert and be healed. You know, and as they understand with their hearts that they may be converted and healed, that they may come to say, I want the model prayer in my life. And I believe that, you know, you're the God in heaven. Your Father raised you for the dead. I know, I believe in you, that I should be saved. He goes over in the 41st verse. I got to get out of here, man and woman, God. These things said Esau when he saw his glory and spoke of him. The Bible says in the 42nd verse, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believe on him, but because of the Pharisees, come on, somebody, what they call the naysayers, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, or some cases put to death. You know, sometimes you got to find out, you say that word, I live for God, I live for God, I die. You got to believe what you got to believe that to the heart. It says in the 43rd verse, and I got to close this out, for him, he said, for they love to praise the men more than they praise God. I'm telling you, man and woman, God, The Bible said man is always trying to compare himself to other men. I got a bigger building. I got more folk. I got better suit. I got better car. They just, anything, all that stuff. They're always in comparison because they're in competition with one another. And what we should be in competition with is trying to get the souls out of the devil's hand, no matter what type they're in. Whether they come with saggy pants, baggy pants, prostitutes, dope dealers, whatever they may be. You got the power through the word of God to unloosen those things and be able to walk with the comparison through the Holy Spirit. Know that God's got a plan for your life. When you don't got that kind of thought in your mind, you'll fall quickly, as they said before in Psalms 1. If you're blessed, you're going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, not in the way of people who sin, but your laws will be in the Lord. And that's what you will meditate. Am I there? That's what you will meditate on day and night. When the enemy comes at you, that's what you're going to stay on. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to stay right here with the Lord. But it's always a pleasure and a blessing for you guys to join me here at Harvest New Life Church in Harvest New Life Studios here in the city of Dallas for this dynamic word that's always coming from the kingdom of God. We thank God for the opportunity to be in here and just be able to speak to you guys. I said once before, for those who had a chance to call in, that's fine. If you didn't, I still got to go and do what God called me to do. I can't measure my ministry and what I do and what God called me to do based on what people say. I got to speak the word in season, out of season, no matter what it may be done or what may be said. This is what we say is we got to believe, we got to please God rather than please men. This coming Friday night, we got the man of God, Apostle Oscar Walker, coming out of the area of Houston, Texas. We're going to make sure you're going to join him on tonight as he gets himself in position to be prepared to bring a word out of that Volume 1, Finding Grace in the 11th Hour. So start at 7 o'clock right here on our Axie Spreaker station. And we're going to come back on Saturday morning. For those who follow our Axie stations, you know, all the time, it's the Psalms Report, which comes on at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time right here at Harvest New Life Studios in Harvest New Life Church. Of course, Sunday morning, 9:45, you got the woman of God. Pastor Patty Ellis is always bringing something dynamic coming from the kingdom of God. I think the last time she spoke, she saw us staying connected with power. You know, that's what we got to be, connected with the power of God in our life. And you know, we come back, we deal with that area of process in the area of 11 o'clock. Will a leader rob God? And, of course, you know, Monday we start it all over again. Those of you coming to our Axie service, come be a part of us here at our Axie BTR, which is called Blog Talk Radio. Or you can come part of me on the bunch stations I have, my iHeart Radio, the XM station, or the YouTube. Just kind of thumbs up, flag us up, maybe whether you feel up or down. You know, it's up to you. If this teaching is something that can help you, then this is where you belong. If not, then you got to go where you belong. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, go where you belong, not what God has, not what God says that man would try to put you, but what God says he will put you. The Bible said, pray in the spirit that you'll be guided to the right place, not for popularity, not for anything in the nature, but to please God in the life that he's given you, that he may bless you abundantly. I'm Apostle Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church on behalf of the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis. We want to make sure we continue to give her praise for all the work she's doing to help me continue to stay for it and what we're doing here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios in order to do the plan of God. Everything and all things are possible to the believer. God bless you. God keep you. As I said before, you know, it's a pleasure for you guys to be with me. I pray that you have a good afternoon and it's the weekend. Be careful for nothing, but do all things in prayer and supplication that the word of God in your life may be known. God bless. Thank you.